The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. For my money, this is the most beautiful passage in all of Holy Writ. And it says so much to us about our faith, and indeed, it is through not only this passage, but the rest of the fourth gospel, the gospel according to St. John, the beloved disciple, that the church has gleaned a great deal of her understanding about the nature of Jesus Christ, his two natures, divine and human, and the nature of the Holy Trinity. We're celebrating Christmas, obviously, the birth of Christ, but this beginning of John's Gospel is different. It's not like Luke's Gospel. It's not like Matthew's Gospel, where you're given an infancy narrative, and you're told about the birth of Jesus and the circumstances surrounding it, etc. John doesn't go into that at all, but he pushes the origin of Jesus farther back, infinitely farther back. While we see the coming of Jesus into our world in the nativity narratives of Luke and of Matthew, in John we are told that Jesus existed before he was Jesus, that he existed before all time. It is through him and by the light of the Holy Spirit that we understand that, yes, all things were created by and through him. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, who existed before time was created, before space was created, most certainly before human beings were created, but it is in the fullness of time, according to the Father's prerogative, it is in the fullness of time that the right moment was chosen and that the right vessel, Mary of Nazareth, immaculately conceived, was chosen to bring this God, this Spirit, this God, this light, this truth into our world as a human being, as Yeshua, as Jesus of Nazareth. This is what John is bringing our attention to. John is someone who has a very different perspective on everything. And I'm talking not about John the Baptist, but of John, the author of this gospel, John the beloved disciple. John, as you know, had the closest relationship with Jesus of all the 12, and in spite of this, he was not the one chosen to be the rock, to be the foundation of the church. But he is the beloved disciple, and throughout his gospel, this is the title that he uses. He does not call himself by name. The only John he alludes to is John the Baptist. He does not call himself by name, but simply calls himself the beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, depending on the translation that we read. And by doing so, he is leaving us an example of self-effacement, isn't he? He is self-effacing, he is erasing himself from the scene, but he is creating a blank space, a void that we can fill. Because after all, time is a creation. And we can enter into that space because all of us, you, myself, everyone who is baptized, everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is a beloved disciple. And so we can enter into his narratives, into the stories that he tells. And he tells us so many things in his gospel that we don't see anywhere else, not even in the other gospels. He gives us little details, you know, the man born blind, the woman at the well, the washing of the feet at the Last Supper, the fact that he reclined his head on the breast of God, on the heart of God, and through that encounter must have received a great deal of wisdom and knowledge about the nature of things and about the nature of eternity. And that's what leads him to write in such a unique way and in such a different way, and to tell us, or to try to tell us as best as he can in terms that we can understand, to explain to us that not only did Jesus pre-exist us, but that God, Jesus is the Son of God and he is God. He is the Word of God and he is also God. God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, even though each one of them is not a third part of God, but contains in himself the fullness of divinity in a way that we cannot understand. God is the only thing that exists. And so that existence, that being, enters into this darkness, into this void, and brings life. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, enters into the picture. This same Spirit is identified by Jesus Christ in John's Gospel as the Spirit of truth who leads us to all truth. So John is not talking about an event in time, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. He is painting an infinitely broader picture. And so this passage that we just heard reminds us of a very similar passage, doesn't it? It reminds us of the creation narratives of Genesis. And so Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is coming into our fallen world, and as he says, also in John's Gospel, if I be lifted up, I will draw all things unto myself. And he also tells us, behold, I make all things new. So what the world outside does not understand, you know, the History Channel says, well, you know, on Christmas, Christians throughout the world celebrate the birth of their founder, on whose teachings their faith is based. No. We are celebrating a lot more than that. The birth of God in our world. That is why we call Mary the Mother of God. This invasion of love into darkness and hate. And this is something that is a game changer, as they say, for all of humanity as it ushers in the Messianic Age and the final age in human history. In a less cosmic way, we can and should look at it also in a microcosmic way. In other words, what does this have to do with me? Okay, so the light enter the world, etc., etc., and we see all these broad sweeping terms concerning eternity, concerning darkness, concerning light. But what about me? Well, we have a heart. We have a heart. And that heart is hidden. It's not only hidden in our thoracic box, in our rib cage, but that is where our true self resides. And is that part of ourself that nobody else sees. And our heart is a microcosm. It is a miniature replica of the world. And just as the light of Christ enters into the world, it also enters into our heart. In fact, not only this passage from John, but all of Holy Writ has to do not only with salvation history, the history of the Jews, etc., but it has to do with our own personal history. The fact that we are born innocent. We inherit the stain of sin, but we are innocent. We gain self-awareness. And when we gain self-awareness, we also gain selfishness and self-centeredness. And that's when the problems begin. We enter into an alliance with God, like the people Israel did. And when we are faithful to our covenant, things go well for us. And when we pull back and we become more selfish, more self-centered, peace begins to erode. And we start to feel the anxiety of evil, the anxiety of self-centeredness, and we start to feel a little bit cut off. The Word of God, the Logos, enters into the darkness of the world, and it enters into the darkness of our own heart. And just like Jesus came into his own and was not recognized and was rejected, we have a choice. We have a choice. As we celebrate Christmas Day today, what do I say to this light that is entering my heart and that wants to change me? And none of us particularly likes change, because change can bring fear of the unknown. It can be unsettling. But we can trust Jesus. As the light of Jesus enters into my world, into my heart, what do I say to him? Do I say yes, together with the Blessed Mother? Or do I just pull back, withdraw into the known, into the comfortable, into myself? That is the challenge that is given to all of us by John in his prologue and throughout his gospel. And this is a challenge that we receive on Christmas Day. So today, let us give thanks to God for coming into our world, for showing us the example of extreme humility by He being the creator of the universe, the giver of life, coming into our world as a helpless infant. May we learn from example how to be humble, because it is only through humility that we will be able to truly love. May we be given that gift today, here at Christmas, throughout the Christmas season, and throughout our lives, that that light that has entered the world may shine ever the brighter because of our efforts and our collaboration with it to bring that light into the people and circumstances around us. Merry Christmas, and God bless you all.